Welcome. Thank you so much for coming up, guys. Really appreciate you taking a punt on us, like literally taking a punt on us and allowing me to drag you up here today. My name's Matt Harvey. I am one of the co-hosts of this. It's a regular podcast called Just for Funny, where we talk about people that we like, people that we think are comedians we think are funny. This particular version of this show is festival related. So we've got a couple of guests up from the festival who have their own shows, who we're going to have a chat to today. Come on in, don't be shy. Who we're going to have a chat to today. We're going to introduce them to you guys. We'll chat about their show. Basically, it's an attempt for us to say to you, you should check these guys out because we think they're pretty good. I'll start us off. I'll warm you up a little bit. I'll do a spot. I've got my own show. It's called This Monkey Is My Alpha. It's actually in this building tonight at 5:10 is the last one. So if you're interested in coming to check that out, it's a storytelling show. It's like part stand-up, part storytelling. It's like somewhere between the two. So essentially, it's not every moment's going to be hilarious, but at the same time, there's going to be no like heartfelt stories about my relationship with my father. So I feel like everybody wins. We're in this nice middle ground there. Like, you can think about it as like being similar to Eat, Pray, Love in that, except that nobody learns anything significant, and all the eat part happens inside a McDonald's. You know, that's fine. That's where I'm at. That's my level. Okay. I'll give you a sample of a story, and if you're interested, you can come check out the rest of the show later tonight. I don't want to drag us into too dark a territory, but this is the only one that I can finish on like a cliffhanger, which might mean that you'll come out later. So this is festival time like last year, right? And I was out by my house going for a walk, and I could hear this voice calling out from behind me. I think we've all heard a voice call out like this before, that kind of like, hey! You know that? We've all heard someone like that, right? The kind of hey that nothing of value has ever followed, ever, right? So that kind of hey happening. Now, my general policy is to ignore it, but this guy persists, and he's following me. And I figure maybe if I turn around, maybe he needs a lighter, maybe he needs a cigarette. We can get this done, right? So I turn around to see what the problem is, and I come face to face with a man in a balaclava. Yeah, not great. Not great. Always right.
I mean, he could still want a light.
Maybe. Maybe he could. I say I came face to face with him, but he was about half a foot taller than me and like half a foot wider than me. So I was like face to man boob with this guy. But his eyes are up here. So I'm like, hello, I'm respectful. At this point, I'm in taking details mode, right? So I start to sort of try and take in as much detail as I can, and I notice that his balaclava is covered with what I note is a homemade, but actually very lovely, skull design. You've got to give full credit where credit is due, because it was actually a really nice skull design. So I think about this guy. I've thought about him a bit since then, because basically he's gone out and he's bought a balaclava. But then he's had an arts and crafts day at home, and he's like got out his best skull design, and he's like painted it up with his paints. He's like, yeah, this will fucking scare him. It worked. Worked. So now I'm not about to fight this guy, because you can see who I am. That's not how I get down, right? Basically, I don't have fight or flight. I have flight and even faster flight. These are my two modes. Right, so I figure he's a bigger guy than me. I can probably outrun him. I try to ease my way around him to get out of the situation. And because I'm focusing entirely on him, I don't really see his mate coming up behind me. About the same height, much thinner, wearing a matching balaclava, like the same design on it. So now there's two of them at this arts and crafts day, right? And I'm sure at one point one of them had to have turned to the other and be like, mine's not as nice as yours. Can you teach me how to do that? This second guy is also carrying a big metal pole. And he brandishes it at me and he's like, fucking stop! Which I'm like, no. No, I'm not gonna. And like at that moment, like I can, my two skills I think are that I can run and that sometimes I can talk. All right? So I start to try and talk my way out of this situation because I'm probably no longer going to be able to run out of it. And so I'm muster all my wit, all my charm, and I open with this sentence. I say, hey guys, seem to have disturbed you. I'm just going to head back this way, back to my house. Telling the thieves where my house is, not my finest moment. So I'm like easing my way away from them and then not following. And it's weird. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, have I done it? Have I like Jedi mind tricked my way out of this situation? Like, why are they not following? And the third guy jumps me from behind. Yeah, right? Using the same strategy that the raptors used in Jurassic Park. Basically, two of them distract, one comes from behind, and as he body slams me to the ground, there is a moment where I'm like, oh, clever girl, and down I go. All right? So this third guy, at no point do I see this third guy, but I will say he... So I can't confirm for you that he was also wearing a matching balaclava, but it seems to be the team uniform, so like I will assume that he is, and we can picture him that way. Full credit to this guy as well, because he is a professional. He body slams me to the ground, which means he hits the ground at full force. I'm wearing a backpack at the time, so he takes the full weight of my backpack. My full body weight does not make a sound, doesn't grunt, nothing. He's a fucking professional. The only reason I know that he is not unconscious is because his arms start to wrap around my arms, his legs around my legs, and he starts to pull me down to the ground in a position that I have come to know as the hateful koala. Now the second guy, the pole, his cadence changes at this point. He leans down, he no longer is angry, he has the cadence of a school teacher. He leans down, he's like, oh hey buddy. Hey, so this is what's gonna happen, because I don't have a choice at this point. This is what's gonna happen. We just want your money. And I try to explain to him, I don't have any money. I am a comedian of very little note. I have no money, right? And you can see how many empty seats there are here. I have no money, right? And he doesn't listen to me, because why would he listen to me? I'm the guy he's trying to rob. Why would he listen to me? So he reaches through my pockets, he pulls out my wallet and goes through it. He finds $5 in change. That's not even enough to split evenly between three. All right, this is a bad day at work for them. So they go looking for something a little more expensive. His fingers find their way around my phone. All right, and as he goes to take it out of him, I say to him, you're not going to want it. It's shit. He doesn't listen to me again. You think after the first time he would have listened, but he doesn't. Pulls my phone out of my pocket, takes a look at it, puts it straight back into my pocket. All right. And then the first guy, the bigger guy, he looks at me and he's like, oh, you weren't kidding. So now I'm being heckled by my mugger. So there is at this point, they seem like a very well-organized bunch, right? They've got their balaclavas, they've got their weapons, they've been watching a lot of Jurassic Park to brush up on their strategy. But there is a detail that I have failed to omit to you, the lovely podcast audience, and that is that... the two items that he returned in my pocket, he did so with his bare hands, leaving fingerprints all over these items so that I can take them to the police later. And then look, I'm not up here to tell thieves, like the whole point of this is not to tell thieves how to do a better job, right? That's not why I'm doing this. But if you're going to do a job, you need all the tools for the job. Like this isn't a very big room, but I'm still going to use this microphone because you need all the tools for the job. Right. Basically, the main reason I've been telling this story to people is because, like, I look very muggable, right? But now you know it's not worth your time. It's just... Cool. That's just a little taste for you for the show that I've got a little bit later. If you want to find out how I got out of that delicate situation... Come check it out later. And because there's a whole other half to that story. I've got four more stories in that show. I think it's pretty fun. But we're gonna get this show started. Now that you're warm, now that you're you know who I am and what I'm about, mostly running away from things. Please make him feel very welcome. And please welcome to the stage my co-host, Mr. Mariotta.
Oh, me.
Oh. Hey, that's you.
How you doing, guys? Hey, newcomers.
Hey, newcomers.
All right, Matt, do it again.
Go. All right. You got 7 minutes?
I would like to apologize for mugging you that night. Look, had I known it was you, that only gets a laugh because I'm Arab looking. If I was another white guy, they'd be like, don't buy it. They're like, oh, maybe they did, and now they're friends.
We're
that's just how we
the original odd couple. One's a mugger, one's a mugger.
I realized he had no money. I'm like, let's work on your act. What are we doing?
What is wrong with your material?
Do you need more punchlines? Let's go. Come on.
Had to hire him as a punch up guy.
I know,
a script doctor.
I punch up his scripts. Yeah. So next time I mug him, he's got dosh on him.
Yeah.
Jokes, guys. It went too far because they saw the beard. They were like, oh, maybe he's not joking.
We're both bearded, though. So
no. A red beard is not Arab beard.
It
doesn't say Allahu Akbar.
It doesn't. But it says, like, maybe I was a descendant of an IRA, you know? Like,
oh, NRA? Yeah, that's true.
We've got our own.
That's true.
Like, together, we're like the terrorist duo.
That's like, Sunday blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, we get it. Cool. We're there.
We got racial.
Real
everyone
fast.
Everyone tensed up.
Just like real fast.
It's cool, guys. It's cool.
What's up, Marty?
Nothing much. Just doing this sick podcast. So this is a live version of a podcast. I don't know whether that was made clear. We have a podcast. We have many episodes. Yep. Like hundreds.
No. We haven't cracked 50.
Yeah.
I think this is 48. This particular one.
Like hundreds. I think 50 is like hundreds. No, it's not.
We have less zeros.
And they're all very funny. They can be found.
You're Arabic. The numerals come from the Arabic numerals.
That's true. I'm a failed Arab, though. Because you're all still here.
You threatened our audience twice now.
I didn't. I said they're all here. That's not threatening. Yeah, so check out the podcast. What we do is we bring in clips of comedians. We play them. And then we talk about them. But in the live version, we bring actual physical comedians.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of guests who have got shows on this festival. And we're going to talk to them about their shows. There's a real just like plethora of amazing shows across this festival. Has anyone seen anything in the Fringe? No? 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 Great, this is your first. Oh, this is great. Just raw Fringe audience. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is good. I've seen so many lovely shows this festival. And I think just the breadth of art and humanity that's on stage. There's a beautiful New Zealand artist called, I cannot remember her name, but her show is called, I didn't bring her in. I don't need to know her name. I know my guest's name.
It's not a need to know basis. So
yeah. You just Google New Zealand artist. I'm sure she's the only one here.
It'll be her, Neil Finn.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it's not Neil Finn.
Yeah. Once you get past all the Neil Finn articles, there she is. Her show is called My Best Dead Friend. And it's a beautiful show. It's all about her growing up in this little town called Dunedin in South Island of New Zealand and her friends and the one that died. And it's just a gorgeous show. So if you're looking for something really, it's beautiful. And Will Greenway, if you haven't seen Will Greenway, he described himself last night when I saw him as the bad boy of whimsical storytelling. No, the international bad boy of whimsical storytelling. He's a gorgeous, it's a gorgeous show.
Awesome.
So there's some recommendations that we don't have in here because I don't know those people and they're too good for me. No, I didn't hit them up. I didn't. I would, but I just don't know that they'd be available. So we've got. Let's get into it. Let's start. Yes. We'll have a bit of a chat with one of our guests. Annie, would you like to come to the stage? Yeah. So please, let's make her feel very welcome. She's friend of the show, and we had her over in Perth. Miss Annie Lee.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Hi, everyone.
Center stage.
Yeah, take awesome. Center stage. Let's have a bit of a chat.
You should have a stool or something to put my drink on. I planned this very badly.
You can have this seat that nobody is in. There you go.
Very good.
Look at
wow,
that.
We had to move.
This is an audio recording. We had to move so many people for that seat.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Jammers in here.
Couldn't believe it.
Very good. Great. Good to be here, guys.
Welcome, Annie.
Thank you.
So your show, what's your show title?
My show title is Before I Forget, and it's a show all about memory. And I did a survey that's kind of like Family Feud. So we've got lots of games and
no
things.
No more than 100 people.
On pretty much. I got 50 and I've just kind of pumped up the numbers.
Like yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was kind of inspired when during comedy festival time, I was pretty stressed out and I lost my work pass and I was convinced it fell down the crack of the elevators.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks later, somebody found it in the fridge and I was like, what? And then, that's things got worse because I work in government and I accidentally...
Oh, so that's what's wrong with the government.
Yeah, me. So I was like chatting to a friend while I was editing the front page of a construction infrastructure website and I was chatting to my friend who said she'd never seen the TV show Utopia before, which is about government incompetency. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I have to send you a link to that. So I hopped on YouTube and sent her a link and then accidentally pasted that link onto the front page of the website. And it was up there for 30 minutes and I was having a panic attack every five. So I knew that I needed to clean up my act. So I thought I'll write a show about it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great inspiration. I, man, I think everyone can relate to that one. When I had, I was quite ill earlier this year. I had, what did I have? I think like a small bout of like tonsillitis. So I was
lupus?
Out.
Yes,
yeah, maybe yeah. Lupus. I was a werewolf.
Ah, yes.
And, and I was out, I was at home for a few days by myself just resting and my partner came through to check on me and she's like, you know, how you doing? Making sure that I'm getting food and stuff like that. And she goes to, she cooked up some dinner. She goes to the cupboard to get out a container and she's like, oh, what's this? Did you buy some biscuits? And there's just cooked chicken in the cupboard, just in a container that I had apparently thought was the fridge because I was so unwell and should have been at home by myself. Yeah. But I live alone now. So that's just... She's like, we're just going to throw these away.
Yeah, like in the survey, I also asked for people to tell some stories about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's like a perfect example. But I also had one that my manager submitted. And it was a question I also asked, like, what object do you wish you could get back? And for him, it was a photo from 2002 of his best friend, which was photo evidence that his best friend had a massive dick. And they've called him by the acronym MD ever since. So it was like, that's my one regret.
So they've called him MD ever since.
Ever since. And like even
but he's like, oh, come guys, I don't have a massive dick.
I guess he doesn't.
Prove it?
Yeah.
Who's not taking that nickname going, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, apparently people from his workplace call him MD as well.
From his workplace?
But, yeah, and they don't know what it really stands for. Right. They're just like, that's hilarious. Is he like a doctor in his spare time or something?
He's a kind of doctor.
Yeah.
Doogie Howser. Massive dick.
Yeah, I love doctor. Yeah, and like I've had some people at work tell me that they had some spooky experiences with lost things as well. Like it's funny how people can turn from being logical to suddenly like paranormal activity when you've lost something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like this lady, she lost a caftan on a beach in Perth. And it was deserted. And she said she closed her eyes for a few seconds. And when she opened it again, it was gone. It was not windy. There was no one around. And she says, you know, the weird thing was it was around the same time as when the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 disappeared off the coast of Western Australia.
I'm with it.
I was like, where's my captain? Like, who
is what happened, all right? Someone washed up ashore naked. Needed a captain. But went back into the sea.
Yeah, like,
plausible.
Yeah.
Plausible.
Yeah, like...
Ariel needed a new bra. She's weaseled her way back into the ocean.
Yeah.
That stuff's kind of fascinating because that's obviously the basis of a lot of superstition and just like historically speaking, a lot of that sort of stuff that comes out of like, we don't know how to explain a thing. And so we built, and instead of being like, it might just be something silly or something illogical, but we'll build a whole superstition around this idea. Like I know a friend of mine, she worked at Disney World on their college program for like a year. And she was trying to explain to me that the hotel that they had stayed in was haunted, like over in Cancun, because they're there for like spring break. Woo! because of this really convoluted story about how people couldn't find their phone and then it kept turning up in this one pocket in the side door of the car. It's not that they got really drunk all the time in Cancun and probably left it in the side pocket. It was definitely ghosts.
Yeah.
No, that was definitely the explanation.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of reminded me of something, but I will... Oh, yeah. Praying to St. Anthony. That's the thing? Like, that's the...
Patron saint of lost things.
Yeah. And then, like, I looked up a photo of him. He's very bold, but has,
he lost his hair.
I'm like, I don't trust this man to find anything. Look at how much his hair is lost. Like, god damn.
Well, he didn't have mirrors. It was a long time ago.
Yeah,
he
thought
he was still rocking. He's also, like... Like Mr. Burns at the back. Yeah, he couldn't tell.
Thing as well.
How does he... Was he just really good at finding stuff? Is that how he became the saint? Hey, mate, have you seen my... Yep.
It's just... Well, no, he was just a local kleptomaniac.
He'd steal... Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
that's how you get sainthood. You just create... You solve problems that you create.
Very smart. Yeah. There are a few good stories about people messing up time as well. Yeah. Like running... too late or too early for things. Like one lady at my work ran a whole week early for a job interview.
A whole week.
And yeah, she messed it up and she went in there and then got caught by the people who were trying to hire her, and she just pretended that she had a job interview for a different company. And they got
you're
jealous.
You're not the
they
only
were
one
like,
that I'm interested in.
Exactly. Yeah, and she got the job. So that was
awesome.
That's
just a baller move. I feel like that's just her move. She just goes in and be like, no, I'm actually interviewing for someone else. You're second on my list.
No, or was it, oh, you guys know that much high-paying job was
mixed up. Sorry. I get all my high-paying jobs mixed up. Well, I guess that's a very, not similar, but you know the TV show Red Dwarf? Do we know Red Dwarf? Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Some of you might know this story. There's an actor in it, Danny John Jules, and he plays the character the Cat. So the Cat is like a... I know you guys know, but for Annie and for our listeners, the Cat is a humanoid species that evolved from a cat that was left on the ship because all the crew died because of a radiation leak, and then this humanoid cat species evolved, right?
Okay.
So when he auditioned for the role of the Cat, he... realized he was half an hour late for the audition. Then he walked in super confident. Walked in and basically the first thing he said was like, when are we starting this audition? And I just played it like this was when he was supposed to be here and that nothing had gone wrong. And because of his balls out confidence, they were like, oh, this is the perfect guy for this character.
Ah, so good.
Because he's that kind of character. Yes. He's just really arrogant and just sort of... But he wouldn't have known that. It's just that he played it so well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I got a job once at a Christian radio station and I picked up the phone thinking it was my best friend. So I literally picked up and went, hey, yo, 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 what's up? And then like months later, they're like, yeah, we hired you because you were so confident that day. And I was like, well, God's given gift.
The Lord works in serious ways.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I have never gotten a job because of that sort of confidence.
What kind of jobs do you work, by the way?
Oh, fucking shitty jobs. I've worked...
Enough that he gets mugged for $4.80.
Yeah, right? I've worked theme parks. I've worked in a haunted house. I've worked at a... what's it called? Arcade? Like,
feel like Carny vibes.
Yeah, basically. I'm just the creepy guy.
Look at him. Who's going to hire him? No, as in outside of a Carny folk.
Carny
folk, he's like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, they understand. They're like, he'll rip off children.
Yeah, but like, you don't
There's
even
no qualms with that.
You don't have any neck tattoos or face tattoos.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You should
keep
be
it on
eligible
the
for any job. Yeah, I don't know.
No, because they cost money.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the major... Like, I was going to get... one just across here that just said fucking box wine, like right there.
But like Fruity Lexia.
Yeah.
Couldn't
think of a type of box wine.
Too poor to even buy box
wine. That's where I'm at the moment.
Boxes, perhaps. Wine, maybe.
I had to make a bed out of the boxes that used to contain the wine.
Yes, that's true. What about you? What jobs do you work?
What do I do for a living?
What do you
I'm a DJ for a living.
I know nothing about you.
It's not work, is it?
That's what I mean.
You're going to say you're going to say that carnival work is more work than DJ.
I think so. That requires some manual labor. You know, you've got
to. I mean, don't tell my bosses, but yeah, that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, I don't feel better than you guys per se. I just feel like...
Hey, look, I've never...
I'd like to give your jobs a go. Yeah.
I've never posted a link to Utopia on my
theme park's website. That's true. Yeah.
And I don't think Marty's ever played an episode of Utopia
instead
of some hot banger.
We can hook
you
up,
I can't watch Utopia and relate which is awful. You don't want to be able to
that
do
is
that.
True. Yeah.
Why do you want to be able to go, so true? It's
over. I know. I actually like can't watch it unless I'm having a sick day, because then I feel like I'm You're in the work. Office at least. Yeah. I'm like, this is the pain I go through like for work.
I like watching it going, this is so foreign.
Yeah, the good thing is I'm quitting my job next year to do comedy full time.
Yeah.
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 Silly.
This crowd does not give a fuck.
No.
Well, they're just like, that seems like a bad financial decision. We don't stand by that. Follow your dreams, people.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah. Come on. Did you learn nothing from the Kaepernick Nike thing?
Yeah,
come on, man.
Even if it means sacrificing everything. Like, not being a millionaire, just being like a little millionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you wouldn't be a millionaire. You guys are bad with numbers.
That's why I do comedy.
Multi-millionaire is the term I was like. I'm really bad with numbers.
Mm.
No, like, and he's going to be the next face of the Nike campaign. Just the Australian version.
Oh, yeah,
just
true.
Like, throw it all in. Just do it. Give it up.
Give it up.
Pack it in, even if it means driving a Datsun. Dunlop.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Annie Louie.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much for having me. I'll hand that back to you.
Yep. Annie Louie's just over at the...
The Fringe Hub Lithuanian Club.
Every night at 9 p.m. 8 p.m. today, because it's a Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of shows. The show's called Before I Forget. We'll plug it again at the end, because we will forget. Please welcome to the stage our second guest for the evening, our second and final guest, Mr. Jack Gow.
Tepid applause. Well, yes. Exactly what I love to walk onto. Just wonderful.
I ruined the room for you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Can I ask, what kind of DJ are you? Like, are you talking like a club DJ?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like where?
Should I plug them?
Yeah.
Go on. Okay. They pay you. Go on. Yeah. Plug them.
Because I was like, maybe he means like a wedding and like bar mitzvah. No. Kind. Well, not bar mitzvah if...
No, you know, that pays, no, that pays a lot more.
Okay. Yeah, wedding day.
No,
I
don't
money.
Do... Bar mitzvahs, I would do. I have no issue with that. No, I do Golden Monkey, Pizza Pizza, Royal Melbourne Hotel.
Do you, do you have a certain style? Like,
yeah, like this.
No, I don't. I mean, like style of music.
Oh yeah. No, I do not. Which is a good thing.
Is that it venue? Means I can play I was gonna anything. Say, is that a venue related constriction, or is that
like those venues give us a lot of free reign to just be like create vibe? So I just go in any direction,
and you create
my
vibe.
Loins tell me to.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Excellent.
Yeah.
It's not real work. Sorry, guys. And when I say make a living, I live in a box. Like, it's not like...
We share a box, swine.
Don't feel like, oh, this guy does nothing and lives well. He does not live well.
He doesn't live well.
I'm in a bad way, guys. Okay. I get what I deserve.
So, Jack,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your show.
Sure, yeah. My show is called A Quarter Life Crisis in 27 Parts, which... I think we can all agree is a bit of a mouthful. Yeah, it's kind of like about a quarter life crisis I had last year, because I worked in advertising and hated myself.
Yeah, that happens.
Will happen if you work in advertising, mainly because you will solely work with cunts. I actually work. I work at a cancer charity now.
Oh, see, that's
I've really turned that boat around. Yeah,
it's a redemption arc worthy of a biopic of
pretty
some
much,
kind.
Pretty much. Yeah, I tried pitching it to Spielberg. He passed. He said, "No, you're still a middle class white guy. The struggle is very low."
Yeah, but he did Ready Player One.
Yeah, the inspiration that can be derived from your life story is negligible. they were his words. It's like, oh, a man born into comfort continues. That's pretty much me. What about your show? It's called My Monkey. What is it? I was going to say My Monkey, and then I was like, that's definitely not
it's
it.
It's half there. It's This Monkey is My Alpha, which is a title that I already hate. And will probably be changing for the next festival that I do.
Oh, okay.
But basically, the title is derived from an early version of the script for this show was going to concentrate more on incidents of societal expectations of masculinity versus what I actually do in most situations, which is not meet the masculine ideal. And some of that is still in there, as you heard in the story earlier, where you would, like, the generally anyone who I've told that I got mugged, especially men, people that I work with, have always been like, oh, I'd fucking hit them. I'd hit them. Like,
oh, no, you wouldn't. I 100% no, would not. Like, I know that's not a surprise to anyone looking at me.
You look like you're about to.
But honestly, I was afraid when you got up here. So I'm not from Melbourne, and I was down here visiting, like, 3 weekends ago with my girlfriend and a couple that we're friends with, because I'm that white. And we were walking down Exhibition Street just in the middle of the day, and this guy who, how do I describe it? He personified the word methamphetamine abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was walking along wearing like a white top hat and like blue aviators in the middle of the day with no shirt. And like I immediately was just like, oh, I can't interact with this man in any way. Like I must divert my path.
Yep.
But my friend who's like who's very like confident, he's not big, but he's just confident. He just kind of walked along and this guy like we drew quite close and I instinctively was just like, do not make eye contact in any way.
Yep, I know that feeling.
My friend looked at him, like made eye contact with him, not threateningly, and this guy was like, what the fuck are you looking at? And then like as he drew close, like tried to headbutt him.
Whoa.
And my friend like pulled back. And, like, his immediate reaction was he was just, like, he just, like, stared this guy down. He was just like, hey, man, settle down. And I wasn't even conscious of anything. Like, I had, without realizing, because our girlfriends were walking behind us and they immediately were like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. I had started running. I was about 5 meters away in front of my friend. I was just like, fuck. Amazing. Will. Like, yeah. Will is dead. I do not give a shit what happens to that dude. Like, if he's a big enough idiot to, like, actually engage with that walking red flag, I was just like, no. And I learned a lot about myself that day, mainly that I'm an enormous coward.
It's an important thing to know.
Yeah, that was not great.
There's a lot of fascinating stuff like that. So I've had, because this is my general consensus, and this is like a half-formed thought, is that men in general, right?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what kind of man you are. We all are, like, essentially we are all seen as sharks, like, but I'm like a... Yeah, because we're
just, no one gave me the memo on that.
Just by
seen as shucks.
Just by appearing as a man, people could have in the street. There's an expectation that you are potentially violent, and because I remember walking down the street one day and I was in a rush and I was just walking in a because I was carrying all these heavy bags, so I had this like sort of exaggerated walk going on.
Mm.
And there's a group coming in the opposite direction, and there was like 4 men and a woman, and they were easily in their 50s, and like it was just me. Like they could have easily taken me down if I tried to start trouble.
Mm.
But because I was coming at them in sort of like an exaggerated way, one of the dudes was like mocking the way I was walking, and the woman goes,
getting roasted by a group of baby boomers on a day out.
Yeah. And the woman goes, "You're gonna get us killed." Like I'm a threat to 4 other guys.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're
and
just...
I feel like that says a lot more about that woman and her worldview than it does
quite
about
probably
you, though.
Yeah, but then that's sort of where she... That was where she came in. And I was just like, oh, I'm just perceived as scary, like, in general. That sort of thing was the impetus for the design of the last show, which...
And were you, like, I know that this is a comedy podcast, so I don't want to be too earnest. No, you go. But, like, because that was me that gasped audibly earlier when you said that that guy had, like, a metal pole. Oh, no, was wearing a balaclava. Like, were you okay? That sounds traumatic.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I
imagine. I can tell you that, yeah.
Okay. Well, that was mainly for me. I understand that that was not in any way enjoyable for you, but I did want to know, so
he's okay now.
We can talk pretty honestly about this. Like I don't mind talking honestly about it, because it's interesting the path to living a situation and then being able to turn it into comedy.
Yeah,
and that's an interesting path in and of itself, because and your show has a lot of this. Your show is centered around strong moments of struggle that you have lived through and managed to turn into something just quite genuinely lovely and beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I highly recommend going to Jack's show.
There's no tickets left. I've only got one last night. It's sold out, so you can't. But thank you for the plug nonetheless.
If it comes back, if you come back for Comedy Festival.
I don't need you people. No, I'm kidding.
Why are you even here, Jack?
I am honouring a commitment I made 3 weeks ago when I was very worried about ticket sales.
This is what it's all about.
I have since blitzed my media marketing campaign, I am sitting pretty.
Yeah, I've got to hire you to market.
As he drops the mic and walks out of the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And on that note, the bird.
No, I'm kidding. That is lovely. Thank you.
No, but that sort of thing, that road to encounter and comedy is...
Mm.
I mean, it varies depending on what the situation is.
Yeah.
But as soon as the situation had happened and I got home from the police station, I knew that there was something that was going to come out of it. I was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the whole situation was ridiculous from beginning to end. But it was very scary.
See, that's the other thing. Like, so after my friend almost got headbutted by that guy and, stared him down... He then, because his brother's a cop, so he, is quite trusting of the police force, whereas I'm just very afraid of them. and so he immediately, the first cop car he saw, he, flagged it down and, walked into the middle of the street and was like, hey, man, just so you know, there's, this guy walking around. He's shirtless with blue aviators and a white top hat. You're not going to miss him. he's walking around trying to headbutt random strangers. And I was simultaneously kind of impressed by how commanding and kind of manly and adult my friend was being in this scenario. But then a squad of four policemen all in their car near Parliament Station were just like, oh yeah, oh we got somewhere else to be, so yeah, bye.
That's
and I was
great.
Just like,
it's not
yeah,
like it's
nice.
Your job or anything.
That's how that works,
it's fine.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was hectic. And you could see, the hope die in his eyes. Because he was, he was like, no, I'm going to get... there
I'll
will be
down.
Redemption today. he will be held accountable for his actions. And then he was just like, oh, nah. And I'm like, do you want a coffee? And he's like, no, it just tastes like defeat.
then you welcomed him down to the table of reality. And you're like, come join us.
Yeah.
We're all waiting for you. Yeah. We're wondering when your wings were going to fall off.
Lord. Yeah.
But that sort of stuff.
Are you thinking
crazy.
Of bringing the show back to Melbourne Comedy Festival or something?
Yeah, I can't decide on that yet.
It's a bit of a ways away.
Yeah,
it's I do want to. It's more, and I mean, you know, not to toot my own horn, the audience response has been quite encouraging, which is nice.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's just it's a big deal, you know. There's so many people that you're trying to compete with from here and overseas.
600 shows and
exactly
it's the biggest names in
can
comedy.
Get lost easily.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why we do stuff like this. Yeah.
I don't like large challenges. yeah.
Well, to be honest, that's why we started doing stuff like this, because then we sort of grab onto people who we have either encountered out in the open mic scene or who I've seen through various festivals, because I try to get out to the different festivals and just like, oh, people are doing things. Like, there's people that you don't know who are doing good things.
Yeah.
And then we invite them up on the stage here and just be like, say nice things to them. Like, go see their shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just genuinely trying to help out the community a little bit.
That's good.
Right. We're running out of time here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a second half to this. Marty, do you want to talk them through while I grab all the questions?
Yeah.
Do I sit down?
We bring up both comedians and then we talk about news items of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's... of a day.
Yeah.
There was a day where these news... and then these are their questions.
Yeah,
well, I'm rusty.
Marty, you can compete.
Oh, is it like a quiz?
Yeah, I got some questions.
Yes.
Hectic.
They just require me to talk into the microphone. Okay. Or else it's not recording. All right. We're just going to do a little fun quiz. And
it's less about getting it right. Well,
just have
you
some
can
fun.
Get it right if you want. But it's also about...
No, I'm going to play to win this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. There's two type A people on stage at the same time. This is not going
to
be funny.
All right.
I'm going to do an Ed Cavalier on have you been paying attention and just been really serious the whole time. And just like, chill out, bro. It's a fucking variety show. Yeah.
All right, let's go. First question. So, in Geelong. Yep, in Geelong.
from here,
by the way.
Yeah, I'm like from rural New South Wales.
That's all right. That's all right. You'll probably be able to get
Geelong of
anyway.
Sydney, as we call it. I don't know
what that means. There's something has been vandalized. A gigantic version of something has been vandalized that can be seen from space. What is it? Do we know? Have we read this story?
I mean, I don't even know where Geelong is, let alone giant things in Geelong.
Yeah, what's a giant?
I don't know what you can see from space in Geelong.
Is Geelong the place where the mayor is that dude who had the six pack?
So, have a think about what someone might vandalize.
Do they have like a sky wheel thing?
Thank you.
Do they have like a wheel?
No. It's something that someone created.
I feel like the only two cities that have wheels are London, who invented it, and then here, who made
totally
a weird mini version. Mm. Yeah.
We invented one
who
of the
used the. I found out who used the design for the London Eye, but then didn't compensate for Melbourne's summer, and that's why it got all bent out of shape that first time, and it couldn't run properly.
Oh,
so,
shit.
You know,
I trust
good,
you. Like,
good work.
Professional Carney, you probably know how.
He's saying they, but he means him.
Yeah. I messed up, guys.
I took it to the engineers. They just kept shaking their heads.
No, it was a giant penis. Someone's drawn a penis big enough, like vandalized a penis big enough that you can see it from space.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
How do you do that?
It must be in a big field somewhere.
Oh, like they've mowed.
Yeah, they've like.
Moan?
Mowed. They've done something. It's a big penis. And when I say space, like, the definition of space is like 100 kilometers straight up.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's like a loose interpretation.
I think there's always been a massive penis in Geelong. Sam Newman, am I right, guys? Am I right? I'm good.
That's what it's all about.
Who is that person?
He's a dickhead from Geelong.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you need to know.
Joke. It was a really witty joke.
Now I get it.
So,
it was lowest common denominator.
Yeah, yeah. Just got to grab for that low fruit.
Low hanging fruit.
So President Duterte, you know President Duterte? Yeah.
Philippines?
He vowed to resign if anybody could do what?
Execute more drug dealers than he does?
Beat him in an arm wrestle.
That's also a good answer, but no. That's the kind of thing he would put out there.
Is he that loony?
He's that loony, okay, yeah.
He's like the Trump of Southeast Asia.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
He's
that's
nuts,
who he
but
is, yeah.
Except like in a country where he can literally do whatever the fuck he wants.
My favorite thing that he's ever done is that he refused to answer questions at a press conference once. He got a life-size cardboard cutout of himself and put it in front of the mic and was like, ask that guy.
Wow.
And then walked off. He like peaced out and he walked off.
To be fair, that's what Trump does with Bernie Sanders anyway. Is it close to beating him in an arm wrestle?
No, okay. No. But that's the kind of thing he would do. He said he would resign if anybody could prove that God exists.
What? But they're like such a Christian nation.
Yeah.
Why would he do
that? Yeah, and then everyone just went mental at him for a while. And they were like, what are you saying? What do you mean? Yeah, because he's at the point where he can just do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yes. And then he was like, all right, calm down. Let's go.
Yeah. If God could beat me in an arm wrestle.
Well, we are smashing this quiz.
Yeah,
so
no.
It's all good.
Well,
it's all good.
Even Steven.
All right. So what were tourists in Fukushima asked to stop doing?
What? Were terrorists?
Tourists.
Fukushima.
Jesus.
You don't ask terrorists.
Tourists is a very easy answer.
Were they stopped from like entering the grounds of like the nuclear plant?
No, but that's probably where a lot of this was happening.
Stop taking photos of something? Of the nuclear
site?
Of the
selfies. Stop taking selfies.
Oh, close.
Yeah,
oh
that, so that, cause, yeah, yeah. It's like that thing of disaster tourism that people have. So they go around to like, so there's places like the suicide forest in Japan and.
Maybe you just have to wait a while because like selfies in Pompeii is all the rage.
Yeah, that's all about. This one was a little while back. You may have heard about this one. The terrorist group. We've got terrorists this time, not tourist group. Of Al-Shabaab. What did they ban? You probably
they
heard
ban.
It. Yeah, yeah. A lot of things. A real common thing. Real common item.
Music.
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
No.
Internet.
I think someone out here knows.
Yeah. If the audience knows, surely you're allowed to answer as well.
No, no idea.
Too hard? Okay. Well, I admire the candor. Thank you.
Yeah. They banned the use of plastic bags.
Oh.
in Somalia. Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Yeah. It's very weirdly isn't progressive.
That, isn't that sad that Al-Shabaab was more progressive than Coles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just, what an indictment on, like, the grocery duopoly that we have.
They're like, sure, we want to blow up everything and everything can go to hell, but come on, we're doing
And they were, exactly. And that was the exact reason that they cited. They're like, you've got to look after the planet.
Well,
I just watched this doco with Leo DiCaprio. It'll change your life.
They say that Genghis Khan's like murderous rampage across, like, you know, Asia and most of Western Europe actually like set back, like he killed so many people.
Oh yeah,
that
set back,
like set back carbon emissions, the climate change and carbon emissions that human activity was creating. Like
it's amazing, right? Yeah, that and. Yeah.
I've always been pro-genocide personally. Yeah. Wow. For that reason.
And because of that, there's now like 18 million descendants in Southeast Asia who can trace their lineage back to the Genghis Khan.
Man. It's fucking could insane. Murder, could fuck Genghis Khan.
Yeah, right?
That's
one man, planet
saving. I think that was his campaign slogan. Make Southeast Asia fuck again.
And that's how I was born.
All right, Hawaii
has
become the first state to ban certain sunscreens as a measure to protect the reefs and coral reefs. And I just fucked it up because I gave you the answer. I was going to ask what they were going to ban.
sunscreens.
Sunscreen, ban.
I would have known that. Yeah. I work at a cancer charity.
But explain
it.
What's happening?
Yep.
Basically, the chemicals in the sunscreens.
When it comes off your body in the water.
Yeah, and it affects the coral reefs.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so there's particular sunscreens that they want to ban.
Like, I don't want to get too boring in this, but like...
Why change now? I'm not doing much.
No, like that. The study that they're quoting there is like really heavily disputed.
Yeah. Well, that's good because I'm very white and I worry about that.
Sunscreen. Essentially, it like relies on a really poor data set. It's kind of like when California tried to say that coffee was a known carcinogen. Like it's just like one of those things where it's like, oh, maybe in like the strictest lab conditions, this could have some effect, but in reality, you're being.
I would
way
have imagined that. Yeah, the quantities required to destroy a reef of sunscreen, like I'd have to be out there.
Yeah,
like that's how much sunscreen you'd be wearing. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going there anytime soon.
No, not that.
Not
much.
You. Yeah, not you.
No, just the reflected light is what's bleaching the coral, like
you're scaring all the fish away.
Well, you're zapping fish.
All right, so a New South Wales man was fined for attempting to enter South Australia with what? We've all thought about this before.
All thought about South it. Wales. Fruit?
Sure. Oh, no,
the
fruit.
Cans, bottle caps. Cans.
Cans, yeah. Yeah. He had 45,000 cans that he planned to cash in. So he got done by, because you basically if you hand in over, it's like $100 worth of things, they start to question you and they're like, give me your ID. And this is a whole strict process. And he got done because he handed in too many cans at once.
What's the charge? Like, what's the issue? Like, what?
Well, the I did some reading on this.
How did you get all those cans?
No, it's about like, because the subsidies are put in place in that state, and so it's supposed to benefit that state only. So if you cross state lines with all these extra cans, then you're taking money out of the state that's supposed to go to benefit people in the state.
I also heard he ruined JFK's clubs while chasing a Saab down the freeway.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what he did. That's a Seinfeld reference for anyone who didn't catch that. all right.
How many more years do you reckon I can still do Seinfeld references before an entire generation?
Honest, went straight over my head. Same. Yeah, cool.
That's half
the
comedians. Yeah.
Comedians hate Seinfeld.
Sold.
Yeah.
Next question.
All right.
And final, maybe? No?
We're nearly there.
Okay.
So what did... In a recent interview with Vulture, what did Quincy Jones say about the Beatles?
Oh, that they were, like, talentless.
The
like
worst... musicians he's ever played with.
I'll give it to you both. Yeah, worst musicians in the world.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
In the world.
And that that Ringo played the drums on a song and it was horrible. So when Ringo left after laying it down,
he got a black drummer in to do it properly.
Wow. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff in this interview.
Chrissy Jones said a lot of things in that interview, and everyone lost their damn minds. Do you know Michael didn't write his songs. I was like, shut up.
Yeah, there's a few things. Does anyone know anything else from the interview?
I want to read it. Jackson stole melodies and stole song ideas really rampantly, and we just relied on like kind of being such a big name that no one would call him on it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the accusations that was laid against Robin Williams as well, like that he would steal jokes sort of by accident, like that.
Really?
Yeah, that he would just take in all this information, and that if he did it by accident and found out, then he would just pay you. He'd just give you money.
Oh, wow. To buy your silence.
Yeah, to just buy your joke. Yeah.
Wow.
But I don't know if it's true or not.
Let's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make it sound.
Yeah. Well, to buy your joke.
To buy your silence.
It's a monster. I've always said it.
Just because of the improv nature of what he does, he just sort of throws stuff out there. Yeah. So also, so some of the stuff he also said, he said that Ivanka Trump was a fine motherfucker who asked him out once.
Yes. On a date with once.
Oh, he went on a date. All right. Okay. That Elon Musk keeps asking him to go to Burning Man.
I buy that.
Anyone else think Elon Musk is having like a genuine like psychiatric episode right
absolutely
now? I mean, I don't worry about him because he's a billionaire. And, like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he like hoards like so many of the world's resources just for him and his deranged South African mind. But yeah, like it genuinely distressing. Like what he's doing.
He's going to burn out and it's going to be real public and a lot of people are going to get hurt. Like it's just something's going to go wrong. Some other stuff he said. He claimed that Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando had sex with each other.
Correct. Yeah.
And
did you hear the quote though that that Richard Pryor's wife gave when she was asked about that because she's still alive, and they were like, "Oh, is that true that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor had sex?" And she's like, "Probably. The amount of cocaine he was doing, he would try and fuck like a radiator." You know, like they were just like, he'd just
that's
do
an
it.
Actual quote. What she
he'd
said,
go yeah. anything, and it's just like, "Oh, tight, great." That's what I. That's how I want my wife to refer
to remember me. Yeah.
Yeah. In future years.
Coked up mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Like any claim. Yeah. Probably.
Would have put him past.
That's his epitaph. Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, man.
One last one, and then we'll wrap it up. Mm-hmm. So Metallica is releasing a new whiskey, and what is unique about the process that they use to make the whiskey? You're not far off.
They play Metallica music at the whiskey.
That's spot on. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So basically, here, I've got it for you. So this is a quote from the article that I read. The band used a unique patent pending sonic enhancement process known as black noise.
Metallica hasn't sonically enhanced anything ever.
I don't know. Some of their early albums are quite good. It says they used black noise to shape the whiskey's flavor, which involved a custom playlist of the Metallica's music, a different one for each batch, during the distilling process. And when you buy the whiskey, you get the playlist.
Honestly, celebrities need to get the fuck out of the alcohol game. They are just idiots.
Yeah,
except Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Ron, what's he doing?
Cognac. It's like one of the highest selling cognacs in America.
Yeah, but is that just because of the status? Like, is it any good?
Yeah, is it just because it's Jay-Z's?
Because I don't know if anyone's tried, like, the AC/DC red wine. Absolute fucking cat piss. Just the worst wine you could ever drink. And it's just like, this cash-in is just so shameless.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes you sick.
It's one of those ones that I think when it's pitched to them, it seems like a logical connection because they're like, people get drunk and listen to our music, but it just adds a level of just weird pretension to all of them, especially a band like Metallica who have sort of built themselves on this reputation of being like tough rocker guys.
Anti-establishment, yeah. The sellout is weird. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Did you see like Dan Aykroyd's got that crystal skull vodka?
The one with the skull.
And when he came to Australia to do promotion for it, he like stormed out of an interview on the project because they kept asking him questions about Ghostbusters and all he wanted to talk about was his vodka. And he's just like, no, I'm here to talk about the crystal skull vodka. And then he just like takes it off and he's like, this is a fucking waste of time. And it's like... Dan, no one cares about your vodka.
It's not
people
happening.
Only tangentially care about like Ghostbusters and Blues Brothers.
That's what he can get. Really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Fuck me dead.
That he's so Venkman. No, I don't know. He's not Venkman.
It's not at all. Not at all.
I don't know his one.
Marty's showing his play.
I know Seinfeld. That's all I got.
Yeah,
Seinfeld and Jay-Z. That's all I got.
Seinfeld and Jay-Z. All right, guys. And that's it. I think Marty took it out with the couple of extra facts on... No, you took the win.
Oh, I won.
You took the win, yeah. So with a couple of extra facts on the Quincy Jones interview.
I agree.
So, please put your hands together and make all our guests feel welcome. Danny, Louie, Jack, Jarrell.
Thank you.
If you get a chance, go see them in the festival. You can see me. I've got one more show tonight. And we've got one more of these next week at the same time with different guests. So it should be a lot of fun. I'll bring some people. Bring some people. We could do with some more people. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.